Okay, so we'll start a fresh new beginning, a new person, and the new Sefer, the beginning of the Torah, Parshas Bereishis, and Tashin Pei, a new year also. So a lot of newness. We're gonna have a lot of ideas tonight. Bereishis, as we know, is jam packed with a lot of major concepts and ideas, and the Farshim are tremendous and speak at length on every part of the Parsha. Just to give a high-level summary of the Parsha, I know Jeff always did that, and it was always very helpful when I would hear the share for myself. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world, and he creates everything. And day one, he creates light and darkness, and day two, he goes ahead and he creates the sky to separate between what's above and what's below. On the third day, he goes ahead and gathers the waters and puts them into the seas and separates the dry land. On the fourth day, we know it creates the sun, the moon, the stars, and everything in the sky. On the fifth day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and he creates all the creatures, all the animals of the earth, and the birds. And on the sixth day, we know that he makes all the domesticated animals and the livestock, the wild beasts, and of course, Adam and Chava. He creates man and woman. And on the seventh day, he rests, which doesn't mean that Hashem literally rests, but he stopped creating, and Shabbos happens. And then the Torah tells us some more details about the creation, fills in some of the gaps, and tells us how Chava was created. Goes ahead and tells us then about the story of the Nachash, and welcome Jeff. Tells us about the how the Nachash tricked Chava into eating from the Eitz Hadas, which Hashem prohibited them from eating, and she fell for it. Adam fell for it. They both ate from it, and everyone got punished, kicked out of Gan Eden. And then the rest of the parsha is still some excitement with Cain and Hevel. Cain and Hevel, both of them bringing offerings to Hashem. Cain being jealous of Hevel, first murder in the Torah. Cain going ahead and killing Hevel. There weren't many people around for him to hide from, so he hid from Hashem. But and then the Torah goes through, talks about a lot of many of the generations afterwards, and goes through them, and a lot of the descendants that came from there. So we'll start off with the first pasuk. No better place to start a parsha shir on the first parsha in the Torah for the first time being given in this cycle than the first pasuk in the Torah. Welcome. No question. And also, this year should be a zechus for Aliyas Neshama for Tova Yeches Bas Mordechai Yonah. Neshama should have an Aliyah. So we start with the first pasuk in Bereishis. Bereishis bara Elokim es haShemayim veEs haAretz. Right. In the beginning of Hashem's creation of the Shemayim and the Aretz, of the heavens and the earth. So a very interesting remez that I saw for the first time this year is that the word Bereishis can actually be an abbreviation. This isn't in the Makaros, but it can be an abbreviation for Bereishis. The letter Bez is Bereishis in the beginning. Ra'a, Reish Ra'a, Elokim, Aleph, Elokim. Sheyakablu is the Shin. Yisrael is the Yud, Torah. In the beginning, Hashem saw, knew that Bnei Yisrael was going to accept the Torah. You knew that too. Ezra knew that too. So, Bereishis Ra'a Elokim Sheyakablu Yisrael Torah. And that's the whole purpose of creation. And we know that this first Rashi here gets a lot of discussion, a lot of talk. Why does the Torah start with the creation of the world, right? Rashi says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Lo Yatzarach L'Haskel HaTorah Ela Me'achodesh HaZelachem. Rashi quotes Rabbi Yitzchak. We're not sure who Rabbi Yitzchak was. Some say it's Rashi's father. Others say it's a Tana. But we're not really sure who it is. But he says the Torah didn't really need to start with all creation. Why do we need to talk about creation? Just skip it all. Get to the purpose of creation is Sheyakablu HaTorah, as we just said. And the first mitzvah of the Torah isn't mentioned until a very long time from now. So just start with Chodesh HaZelachem. That's the whole purpose of the Torah. Shehi mitzvah rishon rishon nitzdav Yisrael. Umatam pasach b'Bereishis. So why did Torah start with Bereishis? So Rabbi Yitzchok says, Mishum koach masav higi lamo lases lahem nachlas goyim. Sheim yomru umas ha'olam liyisrael listem atem. Shekavashtem artsa shiva goyim. Heim omrim lahem kol ha'aretz she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who bro and his son Allah Asher Yashar Beinav, Virtsono Nasnalahem, Virtsono Natalahem, Venastalan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead and tells us all the details of Maisa Bereshis, that he created the world, he created the lands, so that if the non-Jews, the Gentiles, ever came to Klal Yisrael and said, you guys went ahead and stole Eretz Yisrael, you went ahead, you're robbers, you conquered the land that's not yours, they can say back, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that created the world, he is the one that who decides who to give it to. He can give it to the person, he can give it to the nation, he can take it away from the nation. And so Rashi seems to be saying, very, very on a simplistic level, just on this the pshat of this drash, is that the whole reason for the creation is so that the Jewish people can defend their claim to Eretz Yisrael, which is pretty remarkable if you think about it. And we'll discuss why exactly. What is it? What does that mean? Does that mean that if I'm gonna get into the street today, into a discussion, into a heated discussion with a Gentile, they're gonna tell me, you Jews, you don't have a right to live in Eretz Yisrael. I'm gonna tell, oh no. Look at Rashi. Look at what Rabbi Yitzchok said on the Torah. Hashem created Eretz Yisrael. He wants the Jewish people to have it. What does it mean exactly? What does this Rashi mean? So we have to understand this Rashi a little deeper. Try to get some understanding. And before we do that, though, we're going to see two pshatim on this pasuk. So if you look in Likutei Yehoshua, which is a sefer written by Rabbi Yehoshua Sheinfeld, he learned in back in Europe and moved to Lower Manhattan. He learned in Lublin, I believe. And he writes as follows. He writes, Ra'isi b'sefer chasho atova, in source number 2, ala pasuk b'reshis bar alakim es ha-shamayim ves ha-aretz. We see on the pasuk, b'reshis bar alakim es ha-shamayim ves ha-aretz, v'aretz ha-sa so v'avahu, right? That the world was desolate, that the land was desolate, there was nothing there. Listen to this pshat, beautiful pshat. Shekasher ha-adam yodeo makir reshis, kol ha-shem yispa. Kol Hashem Yisbarach Baras Hashemayim Ves Haaretz Azev Haaretz Hainu Haaretzius VeHagashmius Haisa Sovavo. When a person knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, when a person knows, they always have this idea in their mind that Hashem is central to their lives, to the creation of everything in the world, then they know Haaretz, the Artzius, the land, the Gashmius of the world, is Tohu Vavo. Not that it's nonsense and meaningless that we don't need it and should abstain from it, but that it's not a means towards an end in and of itself. It's just a means towards an end. So if a person goes ahead and has that bracious bara elokim as a shemayim v'saretz, they have that yidia, they have that knowledge, then haynu aretzius v'gashmius haisa tohu vavohu. The aretzius and the gashmius will be tohu vavohu. V'inyan yadin ha'olam hazeh nechshavim etzel u'umah. They won't be so concerned with matters in this world, with materialism and everything in this world. A beautiful drush on the pasuk, a little taich on the pasuk. Then he writes, listen to this. This is remarkable also. Everybody knows the famous remez in Shmos, that Shmos stands for Shtayim Mikra V'Echad Targum, which is the obligation that the Shulchan Aruch brings down based on the Gemara and Brachos, that a person should go ahead, Kol HaMavir, Parshiosa, Matzir, Ram, Arichan, Lo Yama, V'Shnosa. A person should finish reading the Parsha every single week, one Mikra, two Mikra, one Targum, and the Gemara promises that you'll have Arichas Yamim if you do that. So everybody knows Shmos, the famous remez is Shtayim Mikra V'Echad Targum, Shin Mem Vav Tav. But this is wild. Shemati b'shem gadol echad al pasuk harishon. Ki tevas bereshis remes shekol ish meyisrael chayav limod b'chol shavua parshas ha-shavua ha'u shnai mikra v'echad targum pir shashi. He says that in the first word, bereshis is a remes also to this. How so? V'aremes l'zeh me'otios tevas bereshis hu. It's from the letters of the word bereshis. Ha-beiz remes ha-shnai mikra. Beiz is two. That's a remes, a hint to reading the parsha twice. The aleph, the tevas brachus, remez al echa targum. The aleph of the word brachus is echa targum. What's left? Nishara osios resh shin yud. What are you left with? Rashi. The os tough more al tilmud. And the letter tough is left with tilmud that you should learn. So hainu tilmud kol shavu shnai mikra v'echa targum perish Rashi. So he has from there a remez within the first word. Some of Farshim even say the whole Torah is built within the first word. Now, I can't explain that right now. I don't think I'll maybe ever be able to. But at least Shnai Mikra Becha Targum we can get to and understand the hint here.
You don't see, has anything to do with the fact that the Arabs constantly say, the Muslims constantly say, that Israel is their land because it was given to them by their God,
right,
which who they call... not Muhammad.
Allah.
Allah. Okay. And the only real defense Jews can have is to answer them back, no, you're wrong. It was given to us by our God. Because every time a Jew gets logical and says, oh, it's the Balfour Declaration. No, it's the UN. No, it's this.
Right.
They lose.
Right. So exactly, we're going to talk about that in a second, Ezra, because you're making a great point. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe and Rav Kook use that and explain that idea exactly like you're saying. So we'll get there in 1 second. Just source number 3 tells us this din, this halacha of Afa Pisha Adam Shemeya called Tarakula, called Shabbos Betzibur, and the Shulchan Aruch Simin Reish Pehei. Even though a person hears each week the entire Torah, the Parsha, Chayav Likros Latzma B'chol Shavu Parshas Oso V'Shavu Shnei Mikra V'Echad Targum Afilat Teres V'Divon. Person still obligated to do Shnei Mikra V'Echad Targum. Interesting remez, right? Good way to remember this. This is it's hard. It's not easy. Everyone thinks, so, yeah, okay, you read the Parsha. What's so hard? Targum, I don't know, but it's not, for some reason, many people have trouble doing it. That's why the Shulchan Aruch possibly put it in Simen Reish Pei Hei, which stands for Rafa, weak, because people are weak in this. So it's a good remez to know, where is this in Shulchan Aruch? Where's the din? Reish Pei Hei, weak. Why? Because it's difficult for people. We're weak in it. We need to be mechazik in this area. But now we'll get to Ezra's idea. So if you look at Lubavitcher Rebbe on source number 4, Lubavitcher Rebbe says exactly like you're saying. We'll read it inside. According to Rashi, the book of Bereishis was written to provide a response to the non-Jewish nations about our claim to the land of Israel. However, it appears far-fetched to suggest that the entire book of Bereishis and all passages up to 12, up till Perek Yud Beis of Shmos, were written merely to answer a question that might be posed by non-Jews. It's a Pella! All of Sefer Bereishis and the first 11 prakim of Sefer Shmos are written so that I could tell a non-Jew on the street or go to the UN and tell them, and are they going to even listen to me? So they don't listen to me. I lose the vote anyway. So what's the point? What's the point, Ezra? You're right. You're making an excellent point, but really? The Torah spent all that time? So listen to what the Lubavitcher Rebbe says.
I said the first possible.
But Rashi says, Rashi's question is, why doesn't it start with HaChodesh HaZelechem, which is all of Sefer Bereishis and the first 11 Parakim of Shmos? That's a lot of Torah there. Lots of Torah. So listen to what the Lubavitcher Rebbe says. And Rav Kook has a similar idea. In truth, there is an extremely powerful message in these words for Jewish people. A lesson so profound that Rashi deemed it appropriate to form the introduction to his commentary. Namely, despite the fact that the Jewish people are but a tiny minority, the Torah gives us the strength not to be intimidated by the nations of the world. At the very outset of Torah study, the Jew learns that he will be able to defend himself from the criticism of non-Jews, and observe the mitzvahs proudly with full awareness that Hashem created the world for this very purpose. An amazing idea. It's to give us the strength. It's to give us the courage to be able to stand up for ourselves. Even though we're this tiny nation, even though we're so small in the world, such a small population, yet we make it pretty big in the news and in the headlines pretty often. Nevertheless, the reason that the Torah starts with this is that a person should never lack self-confidence. A Jew should never feel a chalisha sadas, a feeling of, I can't stand up for myself. That we are able to stand up and defend ourselves against the rest of the world, just like Avraham Avinu did. But we could do the same thing with defending Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Kook writes the same idea. He actually explains it in two midos. He writes that there are two midos that people don't always speak about, but they're very important midos, possibly even the most important midos. He writes, one is an amitz koyach, a person who is strong, who is courageous. And the opposite of that is a person who is a pachdan, who is a coward. And he writes how bad it is to be a coward, how terrible it is to be a coward. Because if you're a coward, if you don't have a self-esteem, you don't have an ability to speak up for yourself, to do what's right, then you'll never follow the Torah properly. You'll never live a life of happiness, of success. You'll always do what just has to get done because of the pressure from others. You'll never do what's the right thing to do. And so that's the message that the Torah is really driving at here, which is a message in all of life, not just for Eretz Yisrael. Of course, for Eretz Yisrael, and to defend Eretz Yisrael, but it's much more than that as well. So, moving on, we'll go to Perek Aleph Pasuk Kavvav, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates Adam Harishon. The pasuk says, "Vayomer Elohim Nase Adam Bitzalmenu Kidmusenu V'yirdu V'dgas Hayam U'va'of Hashamayim U'va'behema V'chol Ha'aretz V'chol Haremes Haromes Al Ha'aretz." Hashem said, "Let us make man." The famous words, "Nase Adam, in our image, after our likeness, like us. They shall rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the cattle, the whole earth, and all the creepy things that creep on the earth." So Nase Adam, right, gets a lot of discussion as well. I think all of the Mepharshim talk about it. If not all of them, most of them, for sure. Why does it say Nase Adam? What should it say? Ese Adam. I will create man. Who was around at the time? Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
But if it would have
really?
Been
Kira, that's it.
And there's nothing else which has said, I will do the following. He just does it.
Right, he just does it. Why say anything? Yeah. Why say anything? Exactly. So, we have to understand, first of all, who is HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking to? And why is he talking to them? Why is he speaking to someone or something else about creation? So Rashi goes ahead and tells us a pshat from Chazal. And he says, "An visanuso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu lamadnu mikan," in source number 6. We learn about the humility from HaKadosh Baruch Hu from him. "Lefi sheha'adam bidmus ha'melachim v'yiskanu bo lefikach nimloch b'hem." Because man, each of us sitting in this room right now, every single human being, because we come from Adam HaRishon, we're created in the image of the Malachim, like the Malachim. The Malachim are in Shemayim, we're here in this world, but we're patterned in a certain way after the Malachim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw it necessary, deemed it necessary to go ahead and ask the Malachim Rishus, so that they wouldn't be jealous, so that the Malachim wouldn't go ahead and be upset with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He went ahead and he asked the Malachim, which he created earlier than the sixth day, permission to create Adam. Pelu. If you look at the next Rashi, Afal pi enase Adam, Afal pi shelo siyo b'tziyaraso. Even though the Malachim didn't help Hashem create Adam, v'yesh makom l'minim l'rados, and there's room then for the heretics to rebel, because they'll say, look, there are multiple gods. It says Nasa Adam, multiple gods created Adam. So it says Nasa Adam, which could mean that there are many gods. It left that room. Nevertheless, v'nimna ha'kastuv milalamed derech eretz umidas hanava sheheh gadol nimlach v'noter rishos min hakatan. The pasuk didn't refrain from teaching us derech eretz and the midah of humility that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have asked from those who are less superior than him, namely the malachim, to go ahead and ask rishos from them to create man. Now this Rashi is mind-boggling also. It's a pella. So you were mentioning before that, sorry, I forgot your first name.
Aaron.
Aaron mentioned that what? That by every other creation, Hashem didn't ask Rishos. So why does he have to ask it here? He has to ask it because he doesn't want the Malachim to be jealous. He doesn't want the Malachim to be jealous. Something's going to be created like the Malachim. Nothing that's been created until now has been like the Malachim. So he has to ask the Malachim. Rav Shechter quoted in Imre Baruch, Tzvi Shechter, Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva University, in source number 7, quotes from the Beis HaLevi, a beautiful idea. He says, "Shemati me mer Rav Hagon Rav Tzvi Shechter Shlita Rishim HaBeis HaLevi Shemikayin Raya Shemidos Tovos Yoser Chashuvi Mideos Tovos." A beautiful line, Ezra. This one's for you. Midos Tovos are greater than Deos Tovos. To have good midos, to have good character traits, to be a Yiddish mensch, to go ahead and do the right thing, is more important than worrying about what are others going to think. What are others going to say? That's what this Rashi is teaching us. Who cares if somebody else is going to go ahead and question whether or not there's heresy in the Torah? It's more important to do the right thing, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks the Malachim. That's the lesson that the Beis HaLevi says we learn from this Rashi. A beautiful idea. Midos Tovos are more important than Deos Tovos. Midos, proper Midos, are more important than thinking, even for other people to go ahead and have the proper thoughts. Sharia Kodesh Baruch Hu Kasa B'Torah Nasa Adam Lashon Rabim Kedei Limo Midos Tovos Afa Pishyesh Chashe Aideze Yetze Kilko B'Deos. Even though it could lead to bad Deos. I think this really is the idea of Derech Eretz Kadma L'Torah, right? That this is a roof right here. The first, one of the first acts of creation, a creation of man. I guess one of the last acts of creation. But one of the last acts, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaching us, Derech Eretz Kadma L'Torah comes before the Torah, really. That's the concept. And this could also be why Rashi starts with Rabbi Yitzchak. Some of Farshim say Rabbi Yitzchak was Rashi's father. Rashi's father, Rabbi Yitzchak isn't really mentioned so much. We don't really know who he is. He's like this mysterious character. But Rashi had a kibud av, out of respect and honor for his father, wanted to quote him as the first Rashi al-Chumash. Rashi was a massive Talmud Chacham. Some say he had Ruach HaKodesh. And out of honor for his father, Midos Tovos, he went ahead, kibud av, and mentioned his father's pshat on something, even though his father maybe wasn't the biggest Talmid Chacham. He doesn't quote him every time. I don't know if he ever quotes him again. Maybe he does, but I'm not sure. But in the first Rashi in Chumash, he's going to quote him. He's going to quote his father. So that's one pshat. One pshat is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to spend a little time on this because it's amazing, the different pshatim that I found on Nasa Adam that I've heard over the years. What is Nasa Adam? So first pshat, Rashi, talking to the Malachim, asking Rishus so that they're not jealous. We learn from the Beis HaLevi, Midos Tovos are more important than Deos Tovos. The Vilna Gaon in source number 8 has a wild pshat. If you never heard this before, fasten your seatbelts because this is something that I never thought of. And then I realized after it's really connected to the first tour and one of the first Mishnah Berurahs also. What's the Vilna Gaon says? We know the Vilna Gaon, Rabbi Eliyahu ben Shlomo Zalman, lived in the 1700s, one of the greatest, probably the biggest genius in the last couple hundred years, and tremendous, tremendous Talmid Chacham on everything. So he writes as follows in Adaras Eliyahu on this Pasuk, Perek Aleph Pasuk Kafov. Vayomer Elohim Nasa Adam. Biuro, Mipnei Sha'adam Nivra Achron. Explanation of this is as follows. Because Adam was created last, L'chol HaNivraim, out of all the creations, L'chein Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKol HaNivraim. Therefore Hashem went to all of the creations that were already created. Not to the Malachim. Maybe the Malachim also. But not only the Malachim. Everything that was created beforehand, She'yitnu chilek mitchunasam begufa Adam. That they should go ahead and give a part of them, a part of their essence, a part of who they are, to Adam. Contribute a piece of themselves to Adam Arishon, who was created already. What was created that can give to Adam? So he explains, ki ha'gvura, the strength that a man has, that a person has, that Adam had, miyuchas el ha'ari, comes from the lion. Hashem said, lion, give up some of your strength. Give up some of your king of the animal kingdom. Give it to Adam. The fact that man can run, the fact that we can run fast, comes from the deer. The swiftness of man comes from an eagle. The fact that a person can be cunning comes from the fox. The Gros says, who is Hashem talking to? Nasa Adam? He's talking to all the other creations. And every animal came forward and gave a part of himself to Adam. And we then are composed. We are comprised of all different kinds of traits from all the various animals that exist, which is an amazing idea to think about because we really have so many diverse mitos within us, and you can probably trace each and every single one to an animal. What animal gets angry?
It would have been mutter.
I don't know. Is there an animal that gets angry? A rhinoceros? Or a bull? They ram into things? I don't know. An ox gores? There are animals that get angry. Maybe that's where Amidah of Kass comes from. The couple examples that the Vilna Gaon gives. A beautiful pshat in what it means. And this could be actually, I didn't see this anywhere, but I just thought of it, because this is so obvious. It's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, really. But it's also the tour. The first tour in all of Aruch Chaim. Writes as follows. Yehuda quotes from the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Yehuda ben Tema Omer, Havei Oz Kan Omer, Kal Kan Asher, Veratz Ketzvi, Begibar Kari, Lasos Ritzon Avicha, Sheba Shemayim. Says that these ideas, a person should act and should be. Here he actually says, though, interesting, I don't know why. If anyone has an idea, I'm happy to hear. But he changes it from an Ari, a lion, which is what the Vilna Gaon mentioned, to a Namer, to a panther, I think is the translation of a Namer, or some sort of like a tiger. So he should be strong like a Namer. Again, he should be Kal, Kanesher, he should be swift like an eagle, he should be fast like a deer, and strong, strong like a lion. So he has Oz and Gibor, which are both like different meanings of strength, which is interesting. In order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you take all those midos Hashem ingrained within us that the Gra says that Hashem took and created Adam with from all the animals and used them to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he gives an example. Prat arba dvarim ba'avodas habar yisbarach v'hischa ba'az konamir. So he specifies, Yehuda ben Tema, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos specifies four different areas of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he starts with what? The first is az konamir, to be strong like this panther. Fishu kla gadol ba'avodas habar yisbarach, because that's a big klal, a big principle in serving Hashem. Because sometimes a person wants to do a mitzvah. You have a desire, you have a ratzon. I want to do a mitzvah. But he doesn't do it. He stops himself from doing it. Because of people who are going to make fun of him. And And therefore, Yehuda ben Tema tells us, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the tour here, possibly all the way back from Adam Arishon, when the Vilna Gaon says, created, we have that midah of strength. We have this hisgabrus. We have this strength to go ahead, not to worry about what other people are going to say, not to worry about what other people are going to think if we do this mitzvah. Yeah, they might think we're weird when we take our palm trees and our lemon-looking-like esrogim and shake them and put our huts up outside. Yeah, the rest of the world is going to think we're crazy. They might already, but they're going to think we're even crazier. But we can't be concerned with that. We have that fortitude. That, and it really relates back to the idea of Bereshis also, the Babacher Rebbe had. It's the same idea. It's that confidence, that fortitude, that courage that the first Rashi in the Chumash really gives us. That idea from Rebbe Yitzchak, and we see it here as well, that a person should have that strength, shouldn't be concerned with what other people are going to say, what other people are going to think. So that's another pshat. That's the second pshat in Naaseh Adam, is Hashem spoke to all the animals. And here's a third pshat. And this pshat is an amazing and an incredible pshat. It takes a little bit of background first, which we'll go through. It's a little machshava, and then a beautiful drush of what Nasa Adam is. So we're up to the third pshat, Nasa Adam, Ezra. Number one was to the Malachim. Number two was to all the animals in the world, and we have those kochos inside of us to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the strength, with the swiftness, with the fast, with the speed. All those midos are in us. The third pshat, we'll start with the Sefer Ikarim. The Sefer Ikarim was written by Rav Yosef Albo, lived in Spain, in the late 1300s, early 1400s. He wrote a sefer. It's a sefer in the principles of Yiddishkeit, basically. His own Ikarim, that's what a sefer Ikarim is, the Ikarim of Yiddishkeit, the main points of Judaism. So he goes ahead in Mamar Gimel. He writes in Perek Bey's piece Zion. He writes as follows. It's a little long, so we're going to skip. We're going to highlight the important parts. But we'll say it outside, and then we'll say it inside. He basically explains that in creation, there's two different kinds of shlemus. There's two different kinds of perfection. One we'll coin and call, and I put the translation here in English because the Hebrew is a lot of it, but one is called the perfection of existence, and one is called the perfection of purpose in the way that it's translated. What does that mean? It's the shlemus hametzius and the shlemus hatachlis. One happens immediately, and one takes time and is a process and doesn't happen right away. So what does that mean? So let's read inside to try to now explain these two abstract ideas. The Shlemus HaMetzius, the perfection of existence, and the Shlemus HaTachlis, the perfection of purpose. Let's see what those ideas are and relate it back to Nasa Adam Itzalmeinu Kimusim. There are two types of shlemos, says the Sefer Yikarim. Shlemos Rishon or Shlemos Achim. First shlemos and a second shlemos, a later shlemos. Shlemos Rishon hu ha-shlemos ha-magil le-davar im hayoso nimtza befoel miyad kishimtza. The first type of shlemos is that which comes to something immediately as it's created, right away, as it comes out, it's complete. V'yikra shlemos hametzius, and that's called shlemos hametzius. And he's going to give examples, but it happens immediately once something is created. It's shlemos, its completion, its perfection is over at that point. Shlemos acharon, the second kind of shlemos, hu hashlemos she'ino magil ledavar im mitziyaso miyad. It's not something that comes right when something is created immediately. Aval hu bo bekoach b'shas mitziyus hadavar hu v'yagia hashlemos ahu. It's when something goes ahead and it comes out over time, and when something reaches perfection and the potential is actualized. And this is called the Shlemos HaTachlis, the perfection of purpose. This type of Shlemos, the second kind, the one that doesn't come out, happen immediately, but happens over time and gets to that stage after potential is actualized, is the type of shlemus that applies to man. He gives an example. Ki hakisei derech mashal. Take a chair, for example. Right, manufacturing company creates a chair. Shlemus harishon yagia imitziyasa. The first type of shlemus for that happens as soon as it's created. It's created, you have a chair. Beautiful. The chair is finished. Miyad kishia nishlam asiyasa, as soon as it's completed. Its purpose, though, isn't accomplished until when a person actually sits on it and uses it for something functional. Until then, it's just a chair. It's not doing anything, but it was created. That was the first Shleimus, its creation. And the second is really, it's being used. Its potential being actualized. You have a chair, now it's being used as a chair. So he explains beautifully. He distinguishes between animals and Adam. He says, when it comes to Balei Chayim, the Shlemus is expected from them, right? The only type that's there is the Metzias Bilvad, when they're created, when they come into existence. Ne'emar b'tzirasam v'yar Elokim ki tov. So it says when they're created, Vayar Elokim ki tov. I should preface this by saying that really, Rav Yosef Alba is answering a question. He's asked, why does it say Vayar Elokim ki tov by every day of creation except for the day man was created? If everything in the world was created for Adam, which is what we believe, and the whole purpose of our existence, and is so, and everything else is existence, so man can benefit and use it to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. Why doesn't it say Vayar Elokim ki tov after Hashem created man? That Hashem saw it was good. It weren't good. Why did He create us?
I
want to know what does that mean? But everything else was good and we weren't? So he's trying to answer that. So he says, by the creation of the animals, once the animals were created, their purpose is over. There's nothing more for them to do. There's nothing more they can do. All they do is grow, and they follow their instincts, and they live, and that's it. But there's nothing they can accomplish. There's nothing they can go ahead and tap into to actualize any potential. They don't have any more potential than just existing as animals. So there, Vayar Elokim ki tov, because it was a finished product. The creation was completed at that time. It says Vayar Elokim ki tov because to show us that the reason it says ki tov is because that's they're done, they're completed. That's it. The only creation was the perfection of existence for them. But by the creation of Adam, it doesn't say ki tov. We're about five lines down from the end of the first paragraph. Why? It's an amazing wonderment. Why doesn't it say ki tov when man was created? It says it by the animals, by the grass, by the sun, the moon, the stars. Because the goodness of man doesn't come right away. It doesn't happen immediately when you're born from your mother's womb and come into the world. For an animal, it does. But for a man, when it comes to man, when it comes to creating a person, we don't know what's going to be of that person. Is the baby going to be a good person one day or not? Is the baby going to be somebody who follows in the way of the Torah, in the way of mitzvahs, in the way of Kadosh Baruch Hu, or is he not? Is the person going to have good midos tovos, or midos raos? We don't know. The actualization of that person's potential needs to come out in order for it to be ki tov. Hashem couldn't say Vayar Elokim ki tov when Adam was created because it wasn't destined. We didn't know what was going to be of Adam. We didn't know what was going to be of each person. An amazing idea. And the Sefer on the next page, Yismach Moshe, Rav Moshe Teitelbaum, takes this and runs with it. And just for the interest of time, we'll say it outside. But he says, you want to know, Aaron, who HaKadosh Baruch Hu was talking to? Who was Hashem talking to then? It wasn't the Malachim. It wasn't the animals. Who was Hashem saying that? Every one of us. Hashem was talking to Adam. He was talking to Ezra. He was talking to Chaim. He was talking to Baruch. He was talking to everyone. He was talking to man. He was saying, let us create man together. You and I, let's partner up. Let's do it. I can't do it for you. You have to do it yourself. I'll give you life. I'll give you a world to live in. I'll give you everything. And now it's up to you. The Yismach Moshe says that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking about. If you look at the end, you want to be an Adam? You want to be a person? You want to complete that? You want to, that Shlemus that the Rav Yosef Alba spoke about? You want to get to that Ki Tov, the real potential that you can? Then you got to do it yourself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll give you the Kelim. but I can't do it. I need to do it with you. Nasa Adam. Let's join up together and be partners in making you an Adam. Beautiful, beautiful shot. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin echoes this idea. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Ches, tells us, Tanarabanan, Adam Nivra Be'erev Shabbos. Man was created in Erev Shabbos. Do you want a Makarosh? Do you like anything? We're up to source number 12, page 5. So, man was created in Erev Shabbos. Why? So the Gemara gives a couple of reasons. But two of the reasons, one is as follows. Because if man goes ahead and thinks to himself, arrogance, he thinks, I'm so great, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will put him in his place. He'll say, you know, even the mosquito was created before you. Even the fly was created before you. But if man isn't arrogant, if man acts the way he's supposed to act, if man partners up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accomplish that mission in this world, to actualize the potential, to go ahead and to have both the Shlemus HaMetzias and the Shlemus HaTachlis for Adam, then the Gemara says it's Kadeshi Kanes Lasuda, so that he can enter into Shabbos into a Suda. And Steinsaltz explains, and some of the Mefarshim explain also, that what does it mean exactly? That man was created in Erev Shabbos in order that he can enter into the Suda, into a Suda of Shabbos. Kadeshi Kanes Lasuda Miyad Shekol Ha'ula Muchan Lefon of Lishtamishbo. That the entire world, the Suda, the food, the dishes, everything that's set up, the table that's there, was all created for us to use, for us to enjoy, for us to benefit from. For us to go ahead and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with. So it's our choice. How do we want to go ahead and live our lives? Only then can it be Nase Adam, can it be Vayar Elokim Ki Tov, can it be, it's good, and that's why it doesn't say it at the beginning of creation. So we have two more ideas and only 5 minutes. So we'll say the two ideas, mostly outside. But the first one is if we get to the second one. Let's say the first one first, and we'll see if we have time for the second. First idea is in source 13 and source 14. There seems to be a contradiction in the Pesukim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Tad Sheh Ha'aretz Desha Esev Azriya Zera. Let the earth sprout vegetation. Seed yielding herbs and fruit trees producing fruit according to its kind. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said on, I think it was the third day of creation, that the grass should sprout forth, right? Tache Aretz Desha Esav. But then later on, it says in Paraphase, when those details are being discussed about the Maisa Breishis, V'chosia chasada term yeh ba'aretz, V'choesiv chasada term yitzmach, Ki lohim tira donai elohim al aretz ve'adam ein lavo des adam. Now no tree of the field was yet on the earth, neither did any herb of the field yet grow, because Hashem had not brought rain upon the earth, and there was no man to work the soil. So there seems to be a contradiction. There's a steer between the Pesukim. On the one hand, on the third day, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let the earth sprout forth vegetation. And later on, in Perek Beis, Pasuk Hei, it seems it didn't happen until then. It says no tree on the earth yet yielded, was growing. And none of the herbs in the field grew yet. So how do we understand these two Pesukim? So Rashi helps us. Rashi says, Ki lohim tir. Rashi says, Umatam lohim tir. Why didn't it rain? So the reason that it didn't go ahead and grow, and Rashi says it in the first Rashi, it says, Adain lo tzamach, it didn't grow yet. Uvashlishi shekosav atotei aretz, al pesach hakarka amdu ad yom shishi. That from the third day, there you go, Brandon, three right there in Rashi. So the third day, it was created, but it stood at the edge of the surface of the land until the sixth day when it actually sprouted forth. That's how he explains these two Pesukim. So on the third day it was created, waiting to burst forth through the ground, then it came through. Says the second Rashi, Umatam lohimtir, lefisha adam ein la'avodas ha'adama ve'ein makir betovasam shalgashamim. It didn't rain until the sixth day because there was no man to work the field and to recognize the good, the benefits and the goodness of rain. And when man came and he knew the benefits of the rain and what it would go ahead and do, that it was necessary, he davened for rain, he turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and finally it rained, and then it sprouted forth through the earth. So Rabbi Yeruchim explains, not Rabbeinu Yeruchim, he's a Rishon. Rabbi Yeruchim, explains as follows. He says, what do you see from this Rashi? That nothing comes unless a person davens for it. The grass was ready to come. It was right at the edge of the earth. But until the sixth day, until Adam came and realized it was necessary and that we needed rain for the grass to grow and daven for it, it didn't come. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is meratzeh for the tefillos of people. It's all waiting in Shemayim for us. But we have to daven for it. We have to ask the Ribbono Shel Olam for it. And that's what this Rashi teaches us. That's what Rav Yerucham says. And he explains, Hine zeh yisod bebriya kula she'enostim shun davar below tefillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give us anything without tefillah. He says in the underlying part. Vehu amnam chidushi v'gidloi gadol be'inina tefillah. It's a big revelation in the concept of tefillah. That if a person doesn't daven for something, they're not going to get it. The only way to get something is to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for it. Even if it's there waiting for you, all it takes is sprout forth 1 inch and then it's coming out of the ground. That's subtle of a difference. But you have to ask for it. You have to daven for it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has it all created and waiting for us. But we need to daven for it. And that's the lesson Rav Yerucham explains on this. I think it's about to be Maariv. So the last idea I think we could skip for now. But appreciate everyone taking time out of the busy schedules to come. Shkarach to everyone. And hopefully we will have a wonderful, successful Zman of Limud HaTorah and Parsha each week. And look forward to learning together.
I'm not sure if it's the...